Good morning. Great blessing to see you this morning. I am hoping that you dads have had a good day so far, and I hope it gets better for you. The blessing of being a father is great. The pressure, responsibility of being a father is great. And so we need encouragement and we need thoughtfulness. Now, what I'd like to do is tell the folks upstairs that ain't my lesson. And so that'll be the beginning of things. Bill Wade, what did you do? this is kind of one of those things that happens every now and then. Billy and I changed our schedule, although we did notify the office about it. Sometimes things get going in a different direction, but this morning is Father's Day, and so I want to start again by saying Happy Father's Day, and I am very thankful to be a dad today, and I am looking forward to life in the future as much as God gives me, to being a father and a grandfather, and to being the kind of encouragement in my life that I am supposed to be. So this morning, as I thought about being a dad, now that's it. That's my lesson right there. We read a while ago together what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that we have to show us how to pray. And I want to focus on just this phrase today because it's Father's Day. And I want us to renew our thinking about God being our Father. And so I want us to think about this phrase, our Father in heaven. And when you start thinking about that, you have to raise the question of who is God? As you think about God, there are people in this audience that had fantastic dads from the time you came out of the womb until your father's death. And I know you're grateful. There are people in this room, most likely, or in the sound of my voice online, who did not have a chance to have the kind of father that God wants us to be. And I want to encourage you to think about our topic this morning. And then there are people in this room that are blessed to still have a dad. Some of them are that kind that you have just been blessed every moment of your life because of your dad. And there may be some people in this room who've struggled because of a lack of a kind of father in your life that there ought to be. Who is God? I just have a note here in front of me that said some first graders were asked to draw a picture of God in their Sunday school class. And this note says that their finished products contain some interesting theology. One child depicted God in the form of a brightly colored rainbow. Another presented him as an old man coming out of the clouds. An intense little boy drew God with a remarkable resemblance to Superman. But the best entry, this note says, came from a little girl. She said, "I didn't know what God looked like, so I just drew a picture of my daddy." Wouldn't it be neat if every one of us, when we think about our dads, it reminds us of what we think of with regard to our Father in heaven. Who is God? We continue to think about that, and this text tells us He is our Father. It's been pleasant to be able to worship at home when we could not meet together. To be a part of a worship, to come together as it were. I don't know how many hundreds of people worship online, but I know that people worship online with our congregation that really doesn't, they do not attend here. And so we had lots of people getting together in that form to worship God, and I'm thankful for that. He's our Father, our Father. Not just my Father, but He is our Father. And as we think about that, we're coming together in prayer, not to just pray for my own selfish needs and my own focus on my problems and my difficulties. We focus on every person who is a member of the body of Christ to pray to our Father. So it's Father's Day. We want to have a happy Father's Day. But as we think about Father's Day and we reflect on our own dads here in this world, may we think about our Father. What Paul tells us in Galatians 3, beginning in verse 26, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so everybody in this room that has been born of the water and of the Spirit, you are children of God, born into His family. And it is your right, it's your privilege, it's your honor to call upon God as Father. All of us, we witnessed a picture just a little while ago of some of our brothers in Christ in Uganda. What a great blessing. Could we, if we lived next door to those people, look upon them and think we have the same Father? We all do. We all have the same Father. If you want to go back to Noah, or even those people could go back to Adam, we all have the same Father. We live next door to people that are different from us. And if we could all come to the conclusion that God is our Father, all of us who have been baptized into Christ, and look at each other in that way, what a great blessing it would be. Our Father. Today, we look upon our earthly fathers. And it would be great if everybody living in this world could hold a picture of their father up and say, this is my dad, and I love him. I'm so proud of him. That's what we want. Those of us who are dads would love to have that happen with our children and our grandchildren. And so we do not pray alone. Our Father who art in heaven. There's a phrase, like father, like son. Is that the way it is? You young men, when you see your father, is that who you see yourself as? You know, sometimes we think, oh no, there's dad again, saying those dumb things, dressing in those dumb ways, wearing those white socks with his suit, and we've got all kinds of things we like to say, don't we, about our dads, and oh. But there's more to being a dad than choosing the color of socks or the kind of hairstyle for those of you that still have hair to style. When we start thinking about dad, look what God did for us. Go back to the creation story in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 26. God said, let us make man in our own image. God intends for every one of us, every created person, to image God, to reflect God in their lives. And dads, that's exactly what God wants from us. Let us be dads in God's image as we think about our Father. When you read this great Sermon on the Mount, it's amazing what all it contains. But here's an encouragement. Therefore, we must be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. You see, He created us in His image so we could reflect Him. We could reflect His completeness. Can we be as complete as God is? Absolutely not. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. We know that Jesus didn't sin while He was here, faced with every temptation that we have. God is so pure, His eyes cannot look upon sin. Nothing common or unclean is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we have to be thoughtful about what our lives are like, every one of us. But dads have a special role as the head of the home. Just like Christ is the head of the church, each dad here is the head of his home. And God is wanting us to reflect him in the greatest ways possible. If you just take a look at Matthew chapter 5, look at all the things. I'm just going to mention a couple of things here that Jesus spoke about. He talked about lust and how we look upon circumstances. He talked about divorce and how terrible divorce can be in our lives. He talked about those people that are angry and speak out and call people names such as a fool. He talked about loving people who don't love us. Everything in that chapter is a tough go for any one of us. But God wants us to reflect that. And one of his conclusions is, you be perfect or complete like I am complete. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 that as we work and as we become who we ought to be, we behold the glory of the Lord and we are being transformed into that same image. It's a lifelong project. It's a difficult road, but every one of us, and especially those of us who are dads, we need to be reflecting the image of God in every way that we can. Like the Father is, so us earthly fathers need to be in the way in which we deal with our children. Our Father in heaven, we sort of pass that off like, you know, God is out there somewhere. And we talk about heaven, and it's a place we're going to one day, but it's a place that exists now. And when we talk about our Father in heaven, we must not think about that lightly. Heaven is the seat of all authority and power and dominion and greatness. When you go back and read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 beginning, when Paul is telling those Ephesian people, you put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. Because we are not fighting or wrestling with flesh and blood, but our fight is in a spiritual realm. And we cannot win that spiritual realm, that spiritual battle, if all we think of is the physical realm in which we live and how smart we are and how good we are, because we do not get it done. And so our Father in heaven is a friend in high places. High, not just meaning up there somewhere, but high in terms of authority and power and dominion and greatness. And we need to be thinking about that as we pray to God. We're not just saying something to each other when we say our Father in heaven. We are speaking to a powerful God that is alive, that knows everything about us and has the ability to do anything that we need done. And so we have that friend in high places. We remember Proverbs chapter 19 in verse 21. The wise man says, many are the plans in the minds of men, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. We have a friend in high places, and we call upon him to help us. We don't get it done the way that we should. As late in my life as last night, I sent a message of apology to one of my children. We don't get it done the way that we should. Our attitude sometimes isn't right. The way in which we communicate sometimes isn't right. And we just don't get it done. When we think about a prodigal, we've got to think about a person who consistently wastes their life in doing things that oppose God and who live lives that are not acceptable to God, who consistently respond in ways that are not good. And as we think about good news for the prodigal, here's a young man. This story in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. Here's a young man, lost his family, lost his friends, lost his money, lost his self-respect. He's in a place he never thought he would be, doing things he never thought he would do. And he is alone and lonely and hurt. with nothing or no one. I don't know what that's like. But here's the deal with him. He changed his heart. His attitude became different when he got to where he didn't have those friends and that money and that respect. He changed his heart. And the text says he came to his senses. And he was a young man who made a good decision to return to his home, to his father. He made a decision at that moment and said, here's what I'm going to say. I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And then this young man got up. He stopped just talking about his sin. He stopped just looking at his sin. He stopped just looking at how he didn't respect himself anymore. And he stopped looking at how alone he was and how good people over there have it. He got up and went home. And here's the welcome from our Father in heaven. It's a story about a young man, much like we. But here is the welcome, a kiss, a robe, a ring, sandals, the feast. Why? Because this, my son, was lost. But now he's found. This, my son, was dead, but now he's alive. Those of us who are earthly fathers, when we see our children making mistakes, this is the kind of response they need when they come toward us. There may be some young folks in your families that are still going away. Don't give up thinking, praying, hoping, trusting in God, hoping that somebody that you love is going to love your child enough to point them back toward you. And that's the way we need to feel toward everyone who is outside of the body of Christ. When we start thinking about our Father in heaven, He cares about us. When we start thinking about our earthly fathers, that's the intent of God when He made us fathers. God can calm our fears. There are people in this room afraid. Afraid of the division in the country. Afraid of who's going to be the next president. Afraid of the virus. Afraid, afraid, afraid. Turn to God, our Father in heaven. He's going to cheer us on. He's going to help us. Run with patience the race that is set before you. That's the encouragement from God in the message of the Hebrew writer, chapter 12. We need someone to cheer us on. He provides us with everything that we need. He lets us go our own way, even when it's wrong. But when we turn around and we come home from a far country, He's ready to welcome us. Our invitation continues to be such that our elders will receive anyone who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation. That includes people who are listening online. Get in touch with our elders. It includes anybody here. We're going to be standing here and singing a song. And if you would like to go to the classroom that is off the commons, some of our elders will be there waiting to receive you. If you need to be baptized into Christ, ready to repent of your sins and confess His name and be buried with Christ, go there. If you're a child of God and you want to turn home, God is ready to receive you, and so is your church family. And so as we sing this song, if you need to respond, you're welcome to do that during this song. You're welcome to do that following our closing prayer. We ask you to stand as we sing.